Good morning, everyone. I'm grateful to be here today, and one of those moments, if we know something might be a hiccup, we always like to say it beforehand. I am taking some advice and switched the microphone holder to my other pocket. I'm not used to it yet, so maybe some hand gestures might knock it loose or something like that. So if you see a little blurb, just understand that we're trying to work through that. That's all for that announcement. Do we have any prayer concerns and thanksgivings that we'd like to share? We have our gentleman available with the microphone. Just put your hand in the air if you'd like to share a prayer request or a specific moment of joy that you're thankful to the Lord for.
Katie Bader asked me to ask you all for prayers for her husband's grandpa, Harley Ferguson. I guess he took a fall last night, and they were, he's in the hospital, Mercy Hospital in Port Huron. So they were out late last night. So
prayers for them and their family. Absolutely. Thank you. Anyone else? The microphone's coming.
I just have a prayer request for one of our daycare ladies. She takes really good care of my girls. She just found out that her daughter, they have like a co-team. Her name's Rosa Duran. She actually has a brain tumor that was just out of the blue, unsuspected. She was rushed over to Saginaw last Thursday night. So she's going to be having surgery here in a week or so. So please send prayers out to the Duran family.
The Duran family. You said surgery was next week or this week? Okay. All right. Yes, thank you for bringing that. Anyone else? Yes. All right.
I don't know how many of you know that I had some emergency surgery. I kept saying I had a pain in my tush. They kept saying it was Bob, but it was not. I ended up having a stent put in my stomach to open an artery into my leg. So everything's going well. I have a leg back, and I can walk now. Thanks.
All right. Yes.
I know you don't know this man, but our associate pastor from Florida had a phone call that his son, who lives in Baltimore, Maryland, had been hit and killed by a car. And our associate pastor is one of the strongest men I know, but I know he'd appreciate prayer. He was in church last Sunday after he got the call and sang, "My Anchor Holds." So please keep Pastor Paul McCoy in your prayers.
Pastor Paul or Palmer?
Paul McCoy.
Pastor Paul. All right. Yes. What a great testimony. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that are printed in the bulletin today? As we're making that announcement real quick, Gayla, before you go, just a reminder that to Heather's celebration for baptism today, she's inviting everyone here to stay after, if you can, for a dinner after service. So there will be no fellowship time. We'll all go downstairs to the fellowship hall and enjoy that meal.
I have a joy. My brother and sister-in-law are here from Wheaton, Illinois. We always just say Chicago. This afternoon, we're going to all be together, my brothers and sisters, will all be together for my brother's 80th birthday. So that's been a very special thing for us. I want to make an announcement. A couple weeks ago, Don Cubitt was here and did a little workshop downstairs for Smart 911. We are going to have... she did a seminar. We're going to have a couple workshops, May 8th and May 15th, I think it is, 1 to 3. It's up on the board. And this will help you. You can come and use our computers, and we'll help you set your profile up for the Smart 911. If you don't know what the Smart 911 is, it's a way to... put a profile in about yourself so that when, if you ever have to call 911, it will flash up on their screen and they can tell all kinds of things about you, which is your best entrance door, if you have family members, if you have somebody that's ill or medical kind of thing or anything. It's a really nice thing to sign up for. So we'll have that available in a couple weeks. Watch for it on the screens, 1 to 3.
Oh.
Just a reminder to mark your calendars for May 13th
the 13th? Mother's Day. Yeah. is also our Children's Sunday. So we're going to be celebrating mothers and their kiddos. And the kiddos will be putting on the show. So make sure you mark your calendar so you're here for that good time and to see all the things they've been doing in Sunday school for the year. And also make sure your kids are here. So May 13th.
All right. You had one, right? Just a second.
Well, now listen, ticket sales, they're going like hotcakes. But we have more. And this is for the Mother's Day celebration this coming Friday, 6 o'clock in Wesley Hall. The title of the program is Hens and Chicks. So if you don't have a ticket or if you want to attend, stop and see me or any of the United Methodist women and we can fix you up. And so I'm going to let you take over now, Pastor.
Oh, well, let me...
Omelette, get it?
Yeah. I'm going to hand things right on over. Yeah, please, if you would.
This is about the Americana concert. The Sayulac Community Symphonic Band is presenting Americana. It's an afternoon of music that celebrates what makes this country great. It's today, April 29th, at 3 p.m., at the Sayulac Career Center, which is 175 East Atkin Road, in between Sandusky and, south of Sandusky, north of Peck. There's a drawing during the concert. I think there's going to be gift baskets and different things, prize giveaways, and also refreshments to follow the concert, too. And it's free admission, and it's at the Sayulac Career Center at 3 p.m. today. Donations are welcome for the Sayulac Community Symphonic Band. And also, we're doing a variety of songs, but a couple of my favorites are, it's a medley from West Side Story, and also a medley from Porgy and Bess, a couple of musicals. So, and there's different songs, though, in the concert that represent Americana. So come out and see the Sayulac Community Symphonic Band today at 3 at the Sayulac Career Center.
3 o'clock, and it's a free event, so great thing to do this afternoon, right?
Play my clarinet in it.
All right, your clarinet, so we'll look for you. Absolutely, great. What a great opportunity today for us. Anyone else? No, was that no? Okay, well, we're moving on then. Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? We have any? Oh, Mr. Potter. Is there a birthday that you're celebrating this week? You're not? Okay. Is your brother celebrating a birthday this week? Yes, okay. Yeah. June told me last year he can't count that high, so he ran out of fingers on the one hand. No. So what day will Don be celebrating? Yesterday. Well, if you see your twin, let him know that we are celebrating his birthday and thankful that he's with us yesterday. But no, congratulations on your birthday. Anyone else? Yes. This Friday is your birthday? How old are you going to be? Huh? 9. Wow. So you guys are pretty close anyway. 9 and a little bit more, right? Congratulations. Double digits pretty soon. So that's going to be what day again? All right, the 4th. Fantastic. Anyone else? Can we sing? Yeah. Oh, Marcy, I'm sorry. Claire, are you having a birthday coming up? When? Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. How old are you going to be on Tuesday? 17? No. 7? 5. We're getting warmer. All right, 5. Well, good. Anybody else did I miss? Wait, we have a lot of birthdays this week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, we also like to celebrate the anniversaries in our life. Does anyone have any anniversaries that are celebrating today? Or this week, not today, this week. No? Okay, let's move on then. We'll hand things over to our choir as we prepare for our beginning of worship, and you set this space for us with this intro. What a prophetic, promising an opportunity for us today to know the Lord is present, that the Lord's presence was here before we even gathered, and we're thankful for that promise and that faithfulness. Would you please join me in our opening prayer together as we ask for the Lord's blessing and the Holy Spirit to move us in our time gathered together today. Almighty God, in this space that we are gathered and the radio that is opened up, Lord, we invite you into our lives, into our hearts to stir us, to move us forward, to challenge us, Lord, to convict us that we need to walk in closer relationship with you, Lord, and to follow the path that you have for us today. Would you guide our worship and bless the prayers that are lifted, the songs that are sang, and the word that are spoken. Lord, in all that we do, we ask that you be glorified, and we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right. Would you please stand if you're able as you sing this song of our faith, number 261, Lord of the Dance. Please stand if you're able, 261, Lord of the Dance. Amen, a powerful song of our faith. Please sit down if you Wood. And we can stay seated for this song as we sing another song that's common and requested for us today. It's In the Garden, a great reminder of our traditions. 3:14, In the Garden. Amen. All right. As we move on in this time in our service, we would ask for our children to come up if they're able. If we have any with us today that haven't been with us for a while or you're joining us for the first time, we'd like to set aside this time before you're dismissed to Sunday school to come spend some time with us. We celebrate your presence amongst us and all the gifts and joy that you bring us today. Come on up. Wow, you got matching shirts, don't you? That's pretty neat. Is that pretty neat? No. Okay. All right. Well, as everybody's gathering up together today, I know we have something special for Sunday school time. Is it okay, Miss Erin, if I let them know what their expectation is? After we get done with our children's time today, because we have a special opportunity for baptism today, and there's going to be a big person that's going to be doing a big, tall, person. There's going to be an adult amongst us who is going to be baptized today. And we're going to ask you to stay for us. Oh, my goodness, right? Pastor Matt needs some prayer before he talks, doesn't he? So we're going to ask that you would stay. You can either go back and sit where you came from, or if you want to sit in the front row, we would like you to take in and observe and witness this adult baptism before you go downstairs to talk about some of those things, right? Okay? So that's what we're going to do. Is that right, Miss Erin? Did I leave anything else out? Okay. But before we get finished with children's time, we got to start it, right? Don't we? That's an amazing thing. And you know, today, some of the adults are going to learn about, after you guys go downstairs to Sunday school for your own learning time, talking about baptism, we're going to talk a little bit about what it costs to be a follower of Jesus, right? And sometimes we can get fused, right? Because if I say, How much does it cost for a loaf of bread? Would you guys have any idea how much it costs for a loaf of bread? You guys have any idea? Let me find something else. Do you have any idea how much it costs for a candy bar? Oh, we got violent. Now we know how much it costs. How much does a candy bar cost? $1 or $10, depending on how big it is, right? Right? Yep, Pastor Matt has gotten those Reese cups that, like, you can put on your shoulders, right? They're really, really big. So sometimes we can get a dollar candy bar or a really big last you for a long time candy bar for $10, right? But, you know, when we're talking about the cost of discipleship, a cost of following Jesus, we're not talking about how we would purchase something with the green money that we have, right? Or the coins that we have. We're talking about a cost in time, right? Because it costs us something. Like sometimes if we want to go do something special, I'm sure that sometimes before we've been able to do something fun or something special, we've had to pay a cost because mom or dad or someone taking care of us asked us to clean up our toys or clean up our rooms before we left. How many of you have ever had to do that before? Had to clean up a little bit? Oh, boy, is that a cost? Oh, my, but that's a cost, right? We don't actually pay money for it, but it costs us time and it costs us effort to be able to do some of those great things. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how Jesus expects us to spend our time and energy doing things in service of the kingdom of God, and that's what it means to be his follower, okay? So when we say cost of being a follower of Jesus or cost of discipleship, we don't mean that we got to pay a dollar every day or more than that. But it means we got to live our life and spend our time and love Jesus, okay? Can we get in our prayer positions? I'll ask you guys to say these words after me. Prayer position, we fold our heads and close our eyes and bow our and fold our hands. Please say these words after me, okay, guys? Dear Jesus, thank you for inviting us to follow you every day of our life. We thank you for paying the cost on the cross. Help us to follow you every day. Bless mom and dad and everyone that's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now remember, we're going to stay up here so we can witness and participate as a witness in the adult baptism. So would you guys go ahead and either find your seats in the front row or back, who with you you came with today, and we'll move right along, okay? How's that? All right. Fantastic. And it was such a great opportunity, if I can lean into that a little bit more, that what a fun time for us to be talking about baptism with the kids downstairs, to be able to take in one here. It's kind of almost like we planned it, right, for that day. So that's a good thing that we have there. So this is our tradition. As we've walked through, one of the things that we want to make sure that we get right when we're in worship and we gather in the space of the Lord in the presence is that we're called to have conversation, to have heart-to-heart talks with Christ as often as possible. Not just once a day, but as often as we can, in whatever language we choose to use, whether it's out loud or it's in the response of our hearts to Christ's listening ears. The disciples had the same kind of questions that we have. How do we make sure in such a holy and righteous practice that we do this right? And Jesus gave a response. And that response is what informs our prayer today. So for those of you that are familiar with it, we'll say that. And do we have the words on the screen for that? No? Okay. So we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer together. If you know it, please join as we say that as one body and one voice together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
On over to the anthem today for the choir. Linda, are you going to tell us a little bit about that today?
If you were here last Sunday, during the offertory, you would have heard something very special. Gage Larson, our high schooler who plays in the bell choir with all the grandmas, as I said last week, did a solo called Majesty. And it just happened as we were planning our music well before Gage, we knew Gage was doing that, we're singing Majesty today. So listen to the words for what Gage was playing for us last week. Thank you.
Thankful for that message and a great reminder for us that we seek to celebrate the majesty of our Lord. And it's interesting that in the most humble of ways, that a way that we can simply call attention and to lift up Christ is how we are able to humbly witness and testify and demonstrate through our lives what it means to be a follower of Christ. As we move on to the next part of our service, it's one of those moments in humbleness whenever we have a baptism for an adult, I always like to have the opportunity that if the person baptized would like to being baptized would like to say a few words. And when I had this conversation with Heather, very humbly she said, "Nope." Not maybe she didn't hear me, because if you spend any significant time with Heather, you would know that there's very few times when Heather doesn't have anything to say or to offer in those moments. And I say that in a great way. So when she said nope so quickly, I thought, well, maybe I should give her a couple of days to think about it. And when I called her up a couple of days later, the response was still nope. And so I thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity when I remember. And I just wanted to share this story before we move on, that it involves her starring her dad and her when she met to go visit someone she looked up to, or coach from Tennessee, Pat Summitt. And she was so sort of starstruck and so impressed by this coach that she'd looked up to and read books and had, you know, all the swag, the jerseys and things like that. So she finally came face to face with the mortal at the time, when she didn't know if she really existed beyond the space and universe, but the mortal Pat Summitt came up to her and asked her a simple question: how are you? Heather didn't have anything to say. And we celebrate her even saying no. But Heather, we're so thankful for your life and your presence with us today that we couldn't let no just sit out there. So, Russ, I'd like to ask you to come up today, because there will be some words that are shared for us today, even though they might not be.
The long walk up. Yes. So, Heather, you didn't know that before you got baptized, you got roasted. What a great treat it is for me to be here. And I want to say some things about Heather that maybe her family doesn't know. So we get all of you here. I'm going to start with last fall when we had our turkey dinner. My friend, I thought he was my friend, Tom Froner, was in charge of it. And he let me know a couple of days before the event that afternoon he had a doctor's appointment at 2 o'clock in Port Huron. And I said, what? He said, don't worry, Heather has it covered. I had two thoughts. Heather is a lawyer. She is not a turkey roaster. Secondly, I thought, great, we really need the law involved in our kitchen. And as it turned out, when Tom came back, we didn't even know he was gone. Heather stepped in, and she did a great job. And I was thrilled. And a week or two, or last month, at the end of that birthday dinner, I walked out into the kitchen, and Heather was talking to some of the ladies, and they were talking about the fall turkey dinner and wanted to know when it was. And I said, well, it's the first Friday in December. When is it? First Friday in December. First Friday night in December. November. First Friday night in November. Well, anyway, Heather says, I got to get that on my calendar. And I said to myself, yes! It's on your calendar. The second story I want to tell you about Heather is that, this isn't about me, but I did have some health issues this winter. And with some support from people and a call from Linda Williamson, would it be okay if we put you on the prayer chain? My wife gave her permission to do that. And I want you to know that one Sunday after church here, after I got back, Heather came up to me and she said, I want you to know I prayed for you. She said, my coworker and I were sitting in the office. It was dark and it was cold. And we went for a walk. And I went and stood in front of your house and I prayed for you. I am so honored and so proud to have you as a member of this congregation, a person, a fellow Christian, a fellow woman of Christ, a fellow supporter of this church and all the things that we do. And I can't think of anything that anybody has ever said better to me than that. And I so appreciate it. And I want to welcome you on behalf of this congregation. We look forward to you rising to a leadership role where you can take us where we need to go. Thank you, Heather.
All right, I knew it was going to be tough if he went first. Oh, yeah. So we're going to move this over. And I would invite, while we're moving this over, if you have a hymnal in front of you, if you'd turn to page 34, because there will be an opportunity for us to not only be present amongst today, but thank you, Russ, but to be witnesses and participants in this service today. Heather, I'd like to ask you to come forward, and any sponsors that you might have today, if you come forward in front of the baptismal font as we celebrate today in this moment. I'll get over here. And for those of you that don't know, this is Pete and this is Jill, and they have a very special role. As it seems like when we're small, we're younger, right? That they take on the title of godparents in our life sometimes, or sometimes they're adopted in a way, and sometimes we don't even label it, right? But we just know it's there, and we know the rocks in our life and the pillars there that we can always lean on. Sometimes if we don't even realize it or not, and there's an unconditional love that comes in this place. So now, because we do so many infant baptisms, that we also like to call them sponsors, because now, well, I think especially you would know in the legal realm, you don't really need a legal parent to take care of you should something happen, because you're all of age now, right? So that changes things. But you know, all it changes is how long you've had a relationship together. And it was very important, we were talking about today, that you made sure you mentioned that you had not only your family amongst you, but you had the friends that we have in our life. There's a saying that says our friends that we have in our life are family that we chose, that we decided to be there. And that's a very important moment. And I would hope that you, as you would be able to look out and family that are sitting there as well, that there's a lot of people here who have been adopted into your family in recent years. But this is a moment that when you're here, you'll also be asked a question on behalf of this baptism today, because if you thought that you're nearing the end now that Heather is getting baptized today, that you could back off a little bit, it's even more that she needs to feel your hands on her as she continues to walk boldly and pay the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Heather, there's some words shared here already today, and I'm sure at the dinner tonight, it'll be, or this afternoon, it'll be an opportunity for some more people to maybe share some things with your family that had traveled a long way. And I'm thankful that we have a great day of weather today so your family could be here today. There are some questions that I have to ask you. Now, Heather, I know you've been present for some baptisms before, but this is different, because today, in the presence of your entire church family who's gathered here together today, they're not just asked in front of you, they're asked to you. Heather, on behalf of the whole church, I have the privilege of asking you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness about you, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you agree, would you say, I do? Question number two. Heather, do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you, the power to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you believe in this power and this freedom, would you say, I do? Now you know how they all lead up. They take steps. This third and very important question, Heather, I have to ask you. Heather, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in the grace of Christ and promise to serve Him only as your Lord in union with the church that Jesus Christ has opened up to people of all nations, ages, and races? If you agree, would you say, I do?
I do.
Now in this moment, I have a question for you. Will you promise to continue to hold Heather accountable and to support her in her life of discipleship? Do you promise in that support that you would offer advice and a listening ear and sometimes even a silence that can speak volumes? If you promise that there is an unconditional love that only goes stronger by the day for Heather and her journey, would you please say, I do? As I've mentioned, we are gathered here together today not just for worship, but we're gathered as witnesses so we can all think and support you on that day, because we remember our own baptisms and your life-affirming choice today. I don't know how many of you might know, because her name is on a billboard uptown, but she doesn't include her middle name, but today we get to use it. Could you please state loud your full name that's given to you? Heather, could I have you just stand just a little bit forward here? I have short arms. Heather, Jean Main, I now baptize you in the name of the Father. Heather, I also baptize you in the name of the Son. And so we never walk alone. I baptize you with the Paraclete, the guiding spirit that will lead us to all truth and mercy and love, as I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, we have an opportunity to celebrate this. Would you please follow along in page 35? And would you respond aloud in the dark print? We are here to remember our own baptism and to celebrate and lift you up as a new part of our family. Church, do you, as Christ's body, affirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you help nurture one another in the Christian faith and life that now includes Heather amongst us, who is now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ, that you will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple that walks in the way that leads to life. Just as you heard Russ say, Heather, the most powerful thing you could ever do for him was with conviction, truth, and honesty say, your face was on my heart, and I intentionally prayed for you as a brother in Christ. We have just affirmed that we are praying for you. Sometimes you might not know it or not, but we are praying for you, not only for today, but for your journey tomorrow and your growth, that when you come face to face with Christ, hopefully many years from now, that you will hear the words that a true disciple longs to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. We are your church. We are your family. We celebrate this day with you as you've allowed us to celebrate this occasion with you. Would this be day one in a new journey, in a pathway to Christ? Could I please have you step forward? My dear friends, as often as our tradition in this moment, we present Heather to you in this place. We've said the affirming words. The water has washed over here. And with her sponsors firmly on each side of her today, we present Heather before you. We are thankful for her life, for her gifts, for her willingness to put others before her and to celebrate the power of Christ in her life. Could we welcome her now into this moment in this family as a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ? In this moment, as you all find your seats, I will ask you if you would find your seats as well. As we all make our ways and transitions to the next part of our service today, I would ask in that moment, we've all seen this, and to our special guests who have been invited today that live out of town, Heather's family, I hope you're able to take that in your pockets today, to know that while she might not be able to keep an eye on her every single day, she's in good hands. We know that you took those vows as well, but you pray for us that we would be a church that would help continue to help her grow and to support her and have a place that's always welcome for her in our lives. In this moment, a song that is one of my favorites, and asked Heather if she had a song that she would like to celebrate today. She said, you know what? Something that very much struck a chord in my life and my journey, my past and my present, my future, leave it there. And can we stand if we're able? We've been sitting for a little bit. Well, I mean, up until the applause, right? Look, can we have everybody stand if you're able? We'll sing together this great song of our faith and reminder of where we leave everything in our life, the things that need to stay in the shadow of the cross. Number 522, leave it there. Please stand if you're able. Number 522, leave it there. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, yes, I'm reminded of that as I look down now, and I'm thankful for those reminders. Can you say we got a little emotional during the baptism, Heather, and there was a part that I forgot? But let it be that it was simply an error and my fault, and let it not be held amongst the gift that is here in this place. As you know, we do have a Thursday's crafting group, and those men and mostly women, but there's some men come by. This has been prayed over, and it's been lovingly stitched together. In this moment, in this baptism, this blanket, this prayer that we bring to you, we present to you so you would never forget this occasion today. And just as we sang and we leave it there, when the days go on, and it might be a difficult struggle, and it might seem like the Lord isn't answering prayer, would you look at this colorful prayer blanket? And would you remember the love that you felt today and the support you felt? And as good as that feels, there's more unmeasurable to come from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Please accept this gift on behalf of your entire church to remember your baptism always. Mm-hmm. Boy, we are thankful for reminders, aren't we? Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to celebrate in those ways and to give us a reminder. And before we move on to our scripture, in that moment from Leave It There, it says, if you trust and never doubt, the Lord will surely bring you out. There's this moment that we walk in this place and we realize that our faithfulness and that bold statement, as we continue to put our trust in God, as we continue to be faithful and to push fear and doubt aside and to lift up that truth of God, that's when Scripture comes alive and says that God is always faithful. Why? Because when it's tried, right? And that moment, isn't it sometimes interesting that when we ask to put our trust in someone that we try to give our benefit of the doubt the first time, right? Would you agree after years and years and years, right? If a person acts a certain way or a person says a certain thing, doesn't it become easier to trust when you have all those years and circumstances and decisions behind them? I mean, isn't that a fair thing? It's a lot easier to say that. The same with God. It becomes more sturdy and sure to have faith and not let fear and doubt creep upon us. Because when we trust and leave our burdens with the Lord, the next time we do it, we call upon the faithfulness that God still shows up. And the third and the fourth time in the year 11 and year 12, we can look back and see that faith strengthened by every time we had no doubt and no fear and trusted it in the hands that stretched out and saved this world. For time purposes, I know what you must be thinking, that dinner's only going to stay warm for so long, so I promise I'm just going to briefly touch on the scripture here in this moment, because we celebrate baptism, and that in itself is a bit of a message. But in this moment, to stay true to the message that was prepared today, this is going to come from Luke's Gospel account, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And it talks about the would-be cost of being a follower or disciple of Jesus. And it reads this: as they were going along the road, someone said to him, being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Verse 58, and Jesus responds to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Yet another said to him, he said to another, follow me. But this person said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus replied to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the good news of God. Verse 61, and yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those my friends and family at my home. Finally, in verse 62, Jesus says to this, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This all talks about the cost of discipleship. To understand that Jesus is asking us to do exactly what Jesus did in the kingdom-building news that he brought. The good news of the kingdom is that it might not be such good news for the path that we have to walk. We love the path of where we're getting, but the path we have to walk, it's not often paved like our parking lot. It's often got thorns all over it. Thick brush. heavy stones that hurt our feet as we walk. When we look at these moments, these are all, for lack of a better term, excuses. I will follow you, the one says, wherever you go. See, there's no condition there. This follower says, wherever you go is where I'll follow. And Jesus says, but you need to count the cost, because your comforts and reassurances of this life are not the comforts and reassurance that I promise you. Because when you take the name of Jesus, when you proclaim the faith in Christ, the world sometimes might laugh and scorn you. And they don't do it because of you who you are, but they do it because they're misinformed or don't understand the ways of Jesus the Christ. Because they're countercultural, sometimes they don't make sense. Yet another one says, he says to another one, follow me. Jesus called to their name, just as he did the disciples, and said, follow me. But there was sort of an excuse, like a condition. I will, Lord, but let me go and bury my father. And in this moment, we have to understand culturally, there was a little bit more of an emphasis that was placed on the family business or taking care of your family, right? There was this moment of legacy that where you lifted up and you always paid those respects of where you came from. So whether this was literally a, my father's sick and I needed to take care of his estate, or it simply meant, let me grab my inheritance beforehand, or let me just wait until that moment comes. We don't know. Maybe dad was less than 50 years old of great health. We don't know how long that would be. But do we understand either way, no matter how well-intentioned in this moment, this follower says, Lord, I recognize you as the Christ. I believe the truth. But there's a few other things I'd like to do first before I commit my life to you. And finally, the third example says, another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my friends and family at home. And Jesus said, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back that is fit for the kingdom of God. And to expressway this in this moment, it's easy to see that if we turn around and look, we're going to have an uneven and unstraight path. And it's going to make all our continued work and a pathway of discipleship and treating other people in our lives, if we have a jagged crossway because we decided to look back, now maybe think of it in your car, right? How long do you think that car is going to stay straight and in your lane if you're looking back here doing one of these things? It's in that moment where it's going to make everything else difficult, because it's talking about plow. You're plowing for work, right? You're preparing for the rest of your labor. And if you mess that up, every single day it's going to be harder. And you're going to be reminded of when you fell away. But yet this person acknowledges Jesus as Lord and says, Lord, I will follow you, but there's some things I'd like to do first. And my dear friends, as we think about this moment and celebrate Heather's baptism, but also that reminds us of our baptism and the choice and decisions we made, have we ever responded like one of these in Scripture today? Has there been a time in our lives, or maybe even now, Jesus, this all sounds great. I mean, I get it, the thing and the cross, and we just got done with Easter a little bit ago. I love it. I get it. I know the songs. I know the Scripture. But there's just a few things I'd like to do first. And if I can get all those things done fast, great. I would love to serve you in my life. There's a few things that I would like to do. Lord, if I just get this milestone in my life, whether it be a promotion or Lord, if I can just get my kids graduated from high school, or Lord, if I can just pay this house off, I can do some things that I'd really like to do, or Lord, just wait till I retire and I'll have more time to serve you. If we unzip those for a moment, whatever reason, no matter how well-intentioned we may seem it would be, even if it's in Scripture, right? I want to take care of family. Lord, I just want to take care of my family, those that are counting on me. But even as well-intentioned as that is, the disciple doesn't realize, and Jesus brings to the forefront for them and for us today, whatever you fill in the blank with, no matter how well-intentioned that we are, we can't put a condition on following Christ. We can't put a stipulation, because that means there are other things and priorities that are more important. Jesus, I appreciate that you died for me and for my sin. and all that. But boy, I would just love to retire and then, after I'm finished, and take that year of kind of vacation and getting used to things, then after that, then you can have my life. Unless my grandkids get sick, and then I'm going to take care of that. But if you don't let them get sick, then I'll stay on the straight and narrow with you. I hope that doesn't alienate anyone here today. That's not my intent. And it's not my intent to be crass about saying and all that stuff. But I say that because I want that message to be very real. It's almost like us saying and all that other stuff if it just becomes something else that we put aside and seek to accomplish when it's convenient. We would agree that the cross and the crucifixion wasn't convenient and it wasn't easy. We also have to agree that even as well-intentioned, and as often we can use Peter as an example, as well as intentioned as Peter was, Peter still messed up sometimes. Because even though Jesus said, "Let this happen," Peter, well-intentioned, picked up a sword and wanted to defend Jesus, and Jesus said, "No. Scripture will be fulfilled." No matter how well-intentioned you are to protect me, Peter, I love you for that. But now is the time for this to happen. Now is the time for suffering to happen, because I will be glorified in what happens today. It's easy to talk about these moments in baptism today in celebration, right? That we are walking the path, Lord, that we are walking this is set before us, right? In these moments, that's the easy ones today when we're full of celebration. But there will be times that it's a struggle to confess our belief in Christ, that we will suffer the burden of the cross and death this side of heaven, because the Lord will be fulfilled in our faithfulness. And it's in that time, my dear friends, would we remember our baptism and our own commitment that our lives are to glorify God. And to do that means that we need to put our every trust and every priority to the Christ who shows us continually unending love. Now, as we move on to this moment of offering, I'd like to ask Donna to come up today. And you come to us from outside of the Chicago area, because I'm not sure exactly where Wheaton is, but as you make your way up, before we have the ushers come forward, I'd like to say in this moment, when we think of the God of unconditional love, you have a special song for us today. Did you want to say anything about that, or just go right on into it? Okay, well, before you start, let me ask our ushers to come forward, and we'll kind of move that along. I just wanted to make sure that we got you up here so we weren't waiting along for you. So could the ushers come forward today, and we'll go ahead and have you start whenever you're ready, Lori. As we give back to our tithes and offerings, the Lord has blessed us.
The way that
Thank you, Donna and Lori. And when we think about our offering and our gifts, our first fruits that we give, we're thankful for the journey because those of you might not know it, it took a little bit of effort, right, Gayla? There was a couple of hiccups in trying to get this together. But you know, when we have a gift that is God-given, this is exactly what the message was talking about today, that we go through effort and energy and time to give back to the Lord and saying thank you for the beautiful gifts you've given me and to honor and glorify God in using those gifts in kingdom service. Please stand if you're able. Lord, for these gifts, for these tithes, these offerings, Lord, we would ask that you bless the houses from which they came, and you would see the use and multiplication of these gifts so that many lives would be changed, including our own, and the message and the kingdom of God would be apparent before us today. Lord, we ask that you would bless these gifts, that you would be glorified in all that they are brought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you're able to still stay standing, we're going to sing this great song of our faith, 593, Here I Am, Lord. 593, Here I Am. And Tina, right before you hit the first note in this moment, this song is familiar to a lot of us. It's one that we sing out very loud in this moment, Here I Am. As we remember today our own baptism and our own journey, can we sing this song not simply pronouncing the words, but is there something that we're struggling with that we're putting before our life of surrender? Is there something that we're putting up in a condition upon our service and our trust in God? Do we know someone that we can lean into in this world when we've been asked to be their pillars in their lives? And maybe we need to have a conversation with them because we know out of love and accountability, they're waiting on something. But Jesus isn't waiting on them. Jesus already served them. Can we sing together with conviction this great song of our faith? Is it us? Is it someone we know? Here I am, Lord.
Amen.
in this moment when we've sang of these precious things. We sang aloud this moment of surrender, and Lord, stir us. Allow us to lose sleep if it's you calling us. Could we go forward on the road that is littered with temptation and suffering? But could we walk it sure and confidence with no fear and no doubt, because you have called us, that if we heard you calling our name. Here we are, Lord, as individuals and as a church. Help us be bold and courageous to take steps forward in service to the kingdom, because we surely don't go alone. We walk with the power and the sure of the power of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.